نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم says المرء على دين خليله. Every person is on the path of his friend. فَلْيَنْدُرْ مَنْ يُخَالِلْ. So each person should be very careful as to whom he chooses as his friend. If his path is pious, then you will go on that same path. And if his path is evil, you will go on that same path, without you even realizing his qualities, good habits or bad habits will transfer into your life without any realization. Sheikh Saadi Rahmatullahi Ali, he explains things with stories that he makes up. Like we make up stories for children, stories with morals. So Sheikh Saadi Rahmatullahi Ali says, one day I went to the public bath and I found a piece of soil. Piece of soil? And emanating from that piece of soil was fragrance. So I spoke to the soil and I said, are you amber or are you musk? So the soil said, I am neither amber nor musk. I am nothing but soil. So how come you are full of fragrance? So the piece of soil said, I was fortunate to be that part of the earth where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grew a tree, a flower tree, which blossomed with flowers, and one branch of that tree was so low that I was fortunate to have stayed in the company of some flowers for many weeks and months. And as a result of this company of the flowers, you are experiencing the fragrance that you are from me. So each and every person should choose good friends. Good friends. Never become the victim of superiority complex that I am very pious, so nobody's company will affect me. I am very pious. I perform salat regularly. I am a strict follower of sunnah. I am always in da'wah and tabligh activities. I am always with my sheikh. Never become the victim of superiority complex. Sometimes to change the thought and the aqidah and the ideology of a person, it needs only a few seconds of somebody sober. In a few seconds, the ideology will change. The thinking will change. And the aqidah will change as well. Hazrat Mufti Mahmudul Hasan Sahib Gangohi Rahmatullahi Alayhi has narrated an incident that there was a student studying in the well-known university, Mazahirul Ulum, Sahranpur. during the time of Shaykhul Hadith Maulana Zakariya Rahmatullahi Ali. And the normal day-to-day timetable in a madrasa in India, in Pakistan, in Bangladesh is that they study up to Asr. And from Asr till Maghrib, they are free. Because India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, they have moderate days and moderate nights. Not like the UK. In summer in the UK we have long nights and long days and short nights. In winter we have long nights and short days. So between Asr and Maghrib the students are free. After Maghrib they are occupied again in study. So between Asr and Maghrib they have food and they go for a walk. They are allowed to leave the premises and go for a walk. So a particular student who was a new Muslim, a revert, he was studying in Mazahir ul-Ulum Saharanpur and he was the murid of Shaykh al-Hadith Maulana Zakariya Rahmatullahi Alayhi. So one day, as per his habit, he was having a stroll between Asr and Maghrib. And normally when people go for a walk, they leave the town or the city. They go on the outskirts of the city. Because it's not a very big city. So when he left the borders of the town and when he went out, other students were also strolling around. He was also amongst them, individually, collectively. So he came across a group of non-Muslim religious leaders who were sitting there and doing something, having their majlis. So they invited him that please join us. So he went into that gathering and he sat there for a few moments only. A few moments, 5 minutes, 10 minutes. And he did not go with the talab of acquiring something from them. It was human nature, inquisitive. He just wanted to see what they were doing. And at one time he belonged to that religion. But he was not much aware of his old religion. So he went to see what they were doing. And after 5 minutes, 10 minutes he left. The effect that this short company had upon this young boy was that whenever he would go to sleep at night, then he would see the same group of people in his dream and they are saying to him that why have you gone on the path of Jahannam? Come back towards the path of Jannah. And frightened he wakes up from his sleep and he cannot sleep. As soon as he goes to sleep again, as soon as sleep overtakes him, he sees the same dream over and over again. So he went to Shaykh al-Hadith Maulana Zakariya Rahmatullahi Ali. Hazrat Maulana Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullahi Ali, after listening to the condition of his patient, advised him to go to Raipur. Raipur is not far from Saharanpur. He said, go to Raipur and spend some time in the company of Shah Abdul Qadir Raipuri Rahmatullahi Ali. Shah Abdul Qadir Raipuri Rahmatullahi Ali is the Khalifa of Shah Abdul Rahim Raipuri Rahmatullahi Ali. And Shah Abdul Rahim Raipuri Rahmatullahi Ali is the Khalifa of Hazrat Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Rahmatullahi Ali. Shaykh al-Hadith Rahmatullahi Ali is the Khalifa of Maulana Khalil Ahmad Saharanpuri Rahmatullahi Ali. And Maulana Khalil Ahmad Saharanpuri Rahmatullahi Ali is the Khalifa of Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Rahmatullahi Ali. Shah Abdul Qadir Raipuri Rahmatullahi Ali was much older in age than Shaykh al-Hadith Maulana Zakariya Rahmatullahi Ali, and he was amongst the Akabir of Shaykh al-Hadith Maulana Zakariya Rahmatullahi Ali. He said, go to Raipur. spend some time with Hazrat and give him this letter. So this young boy, he left Saharanpur, he went to Raipur, and he gave a letter to Shah Abdul Qadir Raipuri Rahmatullahi Alayhi. Shah Abdul Qadir Raipuri Rahmatullahi Alayhi said, after reading the letter, that stay in the Khanqa and follow the timetable. Like we have a timetable here. Stay in the Khanqa and follow the timetable. 1 day passed, 2 days passed, 3 days passed, no difference. And he was experiencing anxiety. He could not sleep. He was worried about his iman. He was worried about his future, deen-e future. He wanted to rid himself of this problem, and that is why he had come to Raipur. But Shah Abdul Qadir Raipuri Rahmatullahi Ali was not paying attention to him. He just gave him the instruction that follow the timetable. And after that, no questioning, nothing. So out of exasperation, with frustration, he came to Shah Abdul Qadir Raipuri Rahmatullahi Ali and he said, Hazrat, Shaykhul Hadith Rahmatullahi Ali has sent me here with a purpose. If you cannot sort my matter out, please tell me so that I can return back to Saharanpur. So Shah Abdul Qadir Raipuri Rahmatullahi Alayhi said, Shaykhul Hadith Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi has sent you to a very insignificant person. It is his good thought regarding this humble one that he has sent you here. I am not a person of that caliber that can sort your problem out. But there are mashayikh in this world of the caliber that if one of them was to point his finger of shahada towards your heart, your condition will immediately change. Shah Abdul Qadir, he said that there are mashayikh in this world, if one of them was to just point his finger of shahada towards your heart, your condition will change. And immediately his condition changed. So company, always stay in good company. In this path of suluk, path towards becoming the wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are certain hurdles and obstacles. For example, major sin is an obstacle. So for as long as a person continues to carry out a major sin, he will not be able to progress in this path. Major sin. Mixing with the opposite sex, that is also a very big problem in this path. Looking at non-mahram ladies, and looking at beautiful, handsome young boys with lust, that is also a very big obstacle. Causing inconvenience and grief to one's sheikh is also a very big obstacle. So from amongst these big obstacles, there are other small obstacles, big obstacles. One obstacle is wrong company. Wrong company. So there are two things that a salik needs. The one who wishes to acquire wilaya, friendship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one who wishes to become wali, he needs to do two things. He needs to adopt good company and stay away from wrong company. Good company and wrong company, it's an obstacle. So the good company will not benefit you. Yes, of course, there is a person who sits only in bad company and does not adopt good company. This person will be better off than that person who adopts bad company and good company. Adopting good company and bad company is better than not adopting good company at all. But the person who adopts good company and bad company, he will not be able to progress.
So one needs to acquire good company and abstain from bad company. And Maulana Masihullah Khan Sahib Rahimahullah Ta'ala used to say that some people question that where can I find good company? If there is a village, India, Pakistan, village, and there are only 30 Muslims in that village, 20 Muslims in that village, 5 households of Muslims, and not a single pious person, not a single alim, not a single hafiz, not a single sheikh. So such people ask question, where can we go for good company? Because we work from dawn until asar, maghrib, 7 days a week. We cannot leave the village and go to Surat or go to Dabhel or go to Bombay or go to Karachi or go to Dhaka. We can't leave our village. Where do we go for good company? So Maulana Masihullah Khan Sahib Rahmatullah used to say that people say, where can we go for good company? I say to them that if you cannot adopt good company, at least leave the bad company. At least do one out of the two. Leave the bad company at least. And Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah used to say, those people who cannot find good company, don't look for good company. Find that person who is better than you. For you, he is good company. He used to say that the muazzin of your masjid is good company for you. Because he is performing 5 times salat with takbir e ula. He is calling out the adhan 5 times daily. So for you, he is good company. But those people who are fortunate to be able to sit in the company of pious mashayikh, they are very lucky. And those people are even more fortunate who are able to sit in the company of their own sheikh. Because there is no better company for anyone than his own sheikh's company. Hazrat Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Rahmatullahi Alayh, he once said that if I found myself in the company of my Shaykh Haji Imdadullah Muhajir Makki Rahmatullahi Alayhi, and if I was told that Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullahi Alayhi is here, Shaykh Junaid Baghdadi is here, he said, never mind walking away from the majlis of my Shaykh and sitting in the, I would not even turn my face away from the face of my Shaykh. They are big people for my sheikh. For me, my sheikh is big. So they can acquire whatever he can acquire whatever he wants from them. I will acquire whatever I want from my sheikh. So company, when a person goes to his sheikh, he should go with this intention that I am going to my sheikh to acquire his faith, his spiritual benefit. And he should go with a conviction that I will get something, inshallah. Allah will grant him faiz from my Shaykh. And then he should adopt adab. He should go with reverence and azmat. He should go with love. Love, reverence, adab. With the intention of acquiring the faiz from his Shaykh. With a condition of want. I want, I am in need, ihtiyaj. So when a person comes with this intention, then whether the Shaykh says anything or not, inshallah he will benefit. Shaykh Wasiullah Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi was the Khalifa of Hakim al-Ummat Maulana Shaykh Ali Thanvi Rahmatullahi Alayhi, senior Khalifa. I met one of his murid, he is still alive from India. So when I got acquainted with him, and after knowing a little bit about his background, I thought that he may have had the opportunity of seeing Shah Wasiullah Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayh. So I asked him, I said, have you seen Shah Wasiullah Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayh? As soon as I said, have you seen Shaykh Wasiullah Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayh? the color of his face changed. And his lips started to shake. And his eyes became watery. And within seconds, he began to weep. And that continued for about 10 minutes, 12 minutes, 15 minutes. It took him about 10 to 15 minutes to get control over himself. And then he said, I am sorry. But whenever the thought of my Sheikh comes, or whenever somebody mentions my Sheikh, this condition overtakes me. So I said, why does that happen to you? So he said, the very first time I went to the company of Shah Wasiullah Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayh, in his majlis, this same condition overtook me. In his majlis, when I was sitting in his gathering, whilst he was speaking to us, this same condition, I began weeping. The speech was very effective, or his majlis, his gathering was very effective. And he said, that gathering had such a profound effect on me, that years have passed, but whenever after that somebody mentions the name of Shah Sahib Rahmatullahi Ali, and the thought of Shah Sahib Rahmatullahi Ali comes, I feel the same effect again. And the people who used to go in Shah Wasiullah Sahib Rahmatullahi's majlis, they say that when he used to get angry on his murid, then he would call him close. And he would slap him on his forehead like this. He would slap him. And he would mention the faults that are in the murid. For how long are you going to continue making this mistake? When is this mistake going to go? When is this mistake going to go? And once he used to do that, that mistake used to go from his life. Shah Wasiullah Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayh. He was such a great Sheikh that his Ustad, Allama Ibrahim Balyawi Rahmatullahi Alayh, a very great academic scholar of Deoband, Allama Ibrahim Balyawi Rahmatullahi Alayh, Imam al Manqulat. He was the Imam in the science of Manqulat. Maqulat, Imam al Maqulat. He was the Imam in philosophy. So, Shah Wasiullah Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayh was such a great Sheikh that Allama Ibrahim Balyawi Rahmatullahi Alayh, his teacher, became his murid. The teacher became his murid, and a great teacher. And he went through the vigorous spiritual training under his student, and he was granted Khilafah by his student. Because they had concern for the hereafter. So whether young or whether old, you go to the person from whom you benefit. It is the matter of the Akhirah. So Shah Wasiullah Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayh, one day, throughout his majlis he remained quiet. He did not say a single word. And all the participants, because they knew how to acquire benefit from one Sheikh, whether he talks or not, it doesn't matter. We are in his gathering, Alhamdulillah, we are benefiting from his company. So he did not say a single word. And before getting up from the majlis, he said one thing. He said, those of you who have not acquired any benefit from my silence, do not come tomorrow, because you will not be able to benefit from my speech. Those who have not been able to benefit from my silence, do not come tomorrow, because you will not be able to benefit from my speech. The main element of benefit is the company. So if the company is not benefiting, the speech is bonus. So you only get bonus if you get the main wages. If there is no wages, there is no bonus. So if the company is not benefiting you, then the speech will not benefit. But if the company is benefiting you, then you will acquire the benefit of the company, and if he speaks, that is bonus. You will get extra benefit. And in order to benefit from the silence of the Sheikh, you have to come with the intention of benefiting from the silence of the, from the company of the Sheikh. So, good company is very important. Good company. Wherever you are, make sure you adopt good company. You stay away from bad company. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, when Uqba ibn Amir radiyallahu anhu asked him, Man najatu ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, what is the path of salvation? How can I save myself in this world and the hereafter? Our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Amlik alayka lisanak, control your tongue, wal yasaka baytuk, and stay in your home. Stay in your home, because you are safe in your home. Wabki ala khati'atik, and cry over your mistake. That means cry and repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The less we mix, the better it is for us. The better it is for other people. The less we mix, better it is for us and better it is for other people. And that should be our intention. That I am not mixing with other people because I am not a very good person myself. So I do not want to pass on the harmful germs to other people. Instead of thinking this way, that I am staying away from people because I do not want them to affect me, we should think this way, that I am staying away from people because I do not want to affect them. I am bad. I have bad habits. I have bad qualities. I have bad traits. I do not want people to get affected by me. This should be our thought process. If the thought process is the other way around, then we are sick. We have the illness of pride, illness of arrogance, because we are looking down upon other people. That they are sick people and I am a healthy person. So we all have some faults within ourselves, so we should think this way, that I have this problem, I have this evil trait. If I sit with him, I may pass on that evil trait to this person, so it is best I stay away from him. And only meet people, mix with people when necessary. The less you mix, the better it is. And we remain so busy on our WhatsApps, so busy with text messages, so busy on our email, so busy on the internet. We remain so busy that we hardly have time to think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We hardly have time to think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. According to the Hanafi school of thought, to delay Maghrib Salah after the Adhan is makruh. But in the month of Ramadan, the Fuqaha have said, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi has said, that 5 minutes, 7 minutes is allowed. So if you delay the Salat by 5 minutes, 7 minutes, it is not makruh. So outside Ramadan, if you delay the Maghrib Salah by 5 minutes or 7 minutes, it becomes makruh, Maghrib Salah. But in the month of Ramadan, if you delay the Maghrib Salah by 5 minutes, 7 minutes, it doesn't matter. It is not makruh. And Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi used to say that to think about Salat whilst I am consuming food, it is better to think about Salah whilst consuming food than to think about food whilst performing Salah. So he used to say that give 5-7 minutes, so at least people can have a few dates, maybe a piece of fruit, so that the hunger doesn't bother him in Salat. He has had something to eat, a few pieces of dates, so he can concentrate in Salat. So Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi used to say that it is better that I think about Salat whilst consuming food, that I still have to perform Maghrib Salat. That is better than performing Salat with this in mind that I need to eat. Samosa is waiting for me. Faluda is waiting for me. So if 5 minutes, 7 minutes is given for food, it doesn't really matter. But in this day and age, it is advisable not to give those 5 to 7 minutes. Because Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi said that it is better to think about salat whilst eating. In this day and age, we engross ourselves into food so much that we forget salat altogether. There are people who miss one rakat. There are people who miss two rakats. There are people who miss all three rakats. And I have seen people, due to the iftari of Maghrib, performing the Maghrib salat only three farz just 5 minutes before Isha beginning time. Wait, I still need to perform my Maghrib salat. And Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, his statement, the essence of his statement is that if 5-7 minutes is given to people to eat something, then they will take their time in performing their 3 rakat farz, 2 rakat sunnah, 2 rakat nafl, another 2 rakat nafl awwabin. Is that the condition we see with people? They will come in the last minute and leave in the first minute to finish off whatever, to finish off their mission, to complete their mission. Why did I mention this? I mentioned this because I was saying that we are 24 hours so busy, that those people who do perform salat, at the time of salat, they will leave everything on one side and go to perform salat. Those people who do perform salat, those people who do zikr, those people who do tilawat, those people who sit in talim, they remain so busy in worldly activities that while they are doing anything for Allah, their constant thought is towards the work that they have left. I still have to read that message. I still have to reply to that message. I have replied to that message and I am expecting the answer. I need to read. So basically, what do we do at salat time? We quickly go on the musalla and complete the quantity as soon as possible. 4 rakat sunnah muakkada, 4 rakat farz, 2 rakat sunnah muakkada finish. And if we are in safar, 2 rakat farz finish. Despite that, we feel that we are religious people. We will never be able to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if we keep our heart and mind occupied with the makhluk. So we need to slowly, slowly work on our heart and mind, and we need to occupy our heart with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not the makhluk. So it should be the other way around, that whilst we are working in the shop, whilst we are working in the factory, whilst we are talking to somebody on the phone, the thought of Allah remains in our minds. But it's not. It's the other way around. When we are performing salat, the thought of our friend is in our mind. My friend is waiting for me. My wife is waiting for me. This, that. And this is the thermometer for what mine and your condition will be at the time of death. If our mind is somewhere else when carrying out duties towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that means at the time of death our mind will not be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if our mind is towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whilst carrying out worldly duties, then at the time of death, world will not bother you. During the time of Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala Ali Majmain, there was no need to give dhikr as exercises. These are exercises because our hearts and mind does not have any place for the remembrance of Allah. So these are exercises. It's like a student who is wanting to become a hafiz, Because the Quran is not in his heart and mind, so he has to say Alif Lam Mim, 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 ذلك الكتاب ذلك الكتاب ذلك الكتاب ذلك الكتاب ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه لا ريب فيه لا ريب فيه لا ريب فيه الف لام ميم ذلك الكتاب الف لام ميم ذلك الكتاب الف لام ميم ذلك الكتاب. A Hafiz will not recite like this because there is place in his heart for the Quran. The Quran is in his heart. He doesn't need to recite it like this. Who will recite like this? That person whose heart is void of Quran. In order to enter the Quran in his heart, he will recite like this. Because Allah is not in our hearts. The mahol, the environment we live in, the mahol of our homes, mahol of our parents, our friends, our society, our relatives, all the time, dunya, 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 dunya. When we are sitting together, we talk about dunya. When we are in the car, we talk about dunya. In weddings, we talk about dunya. In janaza, we talk about dunya. What you talk about enters your heart. So in order to enter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our hearts, this exercise, Allah, 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 Allahu Allah, Allahu Allah, Allahu Allah, La ilaha. I am taking out everything from my heart besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Illallah. And I am entering the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in my heart. Exercise. During the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, it was the miracle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and in order to safeguard the Quran and the Ahadith, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave extraordinary memories to the Sahaba. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say something once and they would memorize it. He would recite the Quran once and they would memorize it. So the Sahaba did not say Alif Lam Mim, Alif Lam Mim, Alif Lam Mim, Alif Lam Mim, ذلك الكتاب, ذلك الكتاب, ذلك الكتاب, ذلك الكتاب, لا ريب فيه, لا ريب فيه, لا ريب فيه. But in this day and age, when you go to a Hifz class, this is what you will find. But nobody will say this is bid'ah. Why? Because everybody believes it is a necessity. It is a necessity. Without repetition of the words, a talibul ilm will not be able to enter the words of the Quran in his heart. And entering the words of the Quran is objective as far as Islam is concerned. Therefore, this is the need of this time, that without this, a person will not be able to enter the Quran in his heart. So similarly, the Sahaba did not have to say, Allah, 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 Allah. The environment was so pious. And then the company of Sayyidul Mursaleen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the state of Iman, as soon as a person came in the company of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for even 1 minute, for a few seconds, immediately Allah's remembrance would enter his heart. So if Allah's remembrance has entered his heart, why does he need to do Allah, 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 Allah? But in this day and age, materialistic mentality, materialistic ideology, all dunya, dunya, everything is in the heart except Allah. So now, if a student of spirituality is seen to be doing Allah, 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 one should not say it is bid'ah, because to enter Allah's name in the heart and to enter the love of Allah in the heart is objective of Islam. It is the prime objective of Islam. And this is the only method. Without this method, this is through experience the mashayikh have shown that through this method, the heart becomes zakir. The awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is acquired. And when the awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is acquired, then a person, his heart inclines towards Allah. His heart inclines towards Allah. When he is in the shop, he wants to come back to the masjid as soon as possible. The sign of a munafiq is, when he is in the masjid, he is like the bird in the cage. The sign of a munafiq. When he is in the masjid, he is like the bird in the cage. What is the desire of the bird in the cage? When can I escape? When can I escape? And the sign of a mu'min is, when he is out of the masjid, he is like the fish out of water. Fish out, when can I return? When can I return? When can I return? إذا رأيتم الرجل يعتاد المساجد فاشهدوا له بالإيمان. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم defining a munafiq and a mu'min says that when you see a person frequently visiting the masjid, then bear witness that he is a mu'min. That is a sign that he is a mu'min. Because a munafiq will not frequently go to the masjid. إنما يعمر مساجد الله من آمن بالله واليوم الآخر وأقام الصلاة وآت الزكاة. Who will inhabit the masajid? Only those people will inhabit the masajid. Only those people will go and spend time in the masajid. من آمن بالله واليوم الآخر. Who believe in Allah and the last day. Hazrat Maulana Fazlur Rahman Sahib Ganj Muradabadi Rahmatullahi Alayhi used to say that when I put my forehead in sajda, when I place my forehead in sajda, I don't feel like raising my forehead. So somebody asked him why. So he said that when I put my forehead in sajda, I feel as if I have placed my forehead in the lap of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah is stroking my head. That is the enjoyment I find. I don't feel like lifting my head. And our condition is that we lift the nose and the head off the floor and wait for the imam to say Allahu Akbar. We stay in that froggy condition. Despite knowing that the same thing happened in the last rakat, we will still do it in the second rakat as well. And we'll do the same thing in the third rakat and the fourth rakat. Despite knowing that this imam performs his salat, mashallah. But no. We are all in i'tikaf, alhamdulillah. After Fajr Salat, where are we going to go? After Zuhr, where are we going to go? After Maghrib, where are we going to go? After Isha, where are we? Nowhere, we are here. Despite that, the quality of our Salat does not change. When we are outside at home, fine, you are performing Salat very fast. Because he is going to go home. Even that is not good, but at least understandable that he is in a rush. But where are we going to go after Zuhr? We are going to stay here. And after completing the Salat, we will not be able to do anything until the Bayan starts. We will just be sitting there. So why don't we perform our Salat correctly? There are so many people who perform Salat in such a way that from the fiqhi perspective, their Salat is not valid. Because their ruku is not correct. Their qawma is not correct. A person has to become motionless. سمي الله لمن حمده. Motionless. Allahu Akbar. Motionless and then Allahu Akbar. But no, we never become motionless. We are always mobile. We are always mobile. And we don't realize that the body is mobile. The body and the tongue is not together. Tongue is doing something else and the body is doing something else. What is the tongue doing? The tongue is repeating everything that it has to. Allahu Akbar, Subhan Rabbi Al-Azim, Subhan Rabbi Al-Azim, Subhan Rabbi Al-Azim, Sami Allahu Liman Hamida, Rabbana Wa Laka Alhamd. The tongue is doing that. And the body is just moving. So we are assuming that I am going into ruku, Allahu Akbar, and I am staying in ruku for the duration of three Subhana Rabbi Al-Azims. Subhana Rabbi Al-Azim, Subhana Rabbi Al-Azim, Subhana Rabbi Al-Azim. No, we are not doing that. What we are doing is, Allahu Akbar, Subhana Rabbi Al-Azim, Subhana Rabbi Al-Azim, Subhana Rabbi Al-Azim, Sami Allahu Liman Hamida Rabbana Wa Laka Alhamd, Allahu Akbar. That is what we are doing. So our Salat is not valid in the court of Allah. The Sahaba Rizwanullahi Ta'ala Ali Majma'in say that except for Qawma, except for Qiyam and Tashahud. Except for Qiyam. Qiyam means at the beginning when you are reciting Suratul Fatiha and Surat when you are standing. Except for Qiyam and Tashahud. All the other postures of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were equal. Kareebam minas-salah, nearly equal. Is our qawma equal to our ruku and sajda? Is our jalsa, when we are sitting between two sajda, is it equal to our sajda and ruku? No. So enjoy your salat. Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. And if you don't know Arabic, I am standing in front of Allah. I am standing in front of Allah. Even the recitation of the Quran, try it. When you are reciting the Quran, before you begin, just go into the world of imagination and imagine that I am reciting the Quran and Allah is listening to my Quran. Then see the enjoyment. How would you recite the Quran when you recite in front of your teacher? I am reciting the Quran and Allah is listening to my Quran. The quality will change immediately. So we are carrying out all the ibadat but without the thought of Allah. Try to bring the thought of Allah in each and every ibadat. Each and every ibadat. We are not reading Tasbih-e-Fatimi. Don't feel too happy that I read Tasbih-e-Fatimi after every salah. Huh? Look in the clock, look in your watch and recite Tasbih-e-Fatimi audibly. Subhanallah, 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 Subhanallah. And see how long it takes. And thereafter read silently as you do every day and see how long it takes. The silent Tasbih-e-Fatimi or the Tasbih-e-Fatimi that you are reciting silently, if we had a way of bringing that into audible form, you would have known that you are not reciting this. That is. We don't have love for Allah. We cannot say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Allahu Akbar. Look at the ladzat. Subhanallah. 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 You should be able to see smile on the face. That I am glorifying my Creator. Subhanallah means Allah is pure. Pure from every fault. Subhanallah, Subhanallah, Subhanallah. Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Go into ruku, Allahu Akbar. And when you become motionless, then say, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. And when you have finished, then you say, Sami Allahu liman hamida. And when you become motionless, then you say, Rabbana walakal hamd. Hamdan kathiran tayyiban mubarakan fi. If you know this dua, you should learn it. Rabbana walakal hamd. Or Rabbana lakal hamd. Allahumma Rabbana walak. There are various narrations. Once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was leading the salat. And he said, Sami Allahu liman hamida. Sami Allahu liman hamida. And his sahabi behind Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Rabbana walakal hamd. And he said, Hamdan kathiran tayyiban mubarakan fi. He was inspired by Allah, the sahabi. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had not taught this. He said, Rabbana walakal hamd. Hamdan kathiran tayyiban mubarakan fi. After completing the salat, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, who said hamdan kathiran tayyiban mubarakan fi? Now the sahaba do not know whether he is going to reprimand him or he is happy. But they were happy to be reprimanded because they were looking for islah, rectification. So he said, oh Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was me. So he said approximately 30 angels were competing amongst themselves to take the reward, take that wazifa, take that zikr in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What you said was so noble that approximately more than 30 angels were competing. I want to take it to Allah. I want to take it to Allah. I want to take it to Allah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when the imam says Ameen, say Ameen. According to some fuqaha, Ameen is audible. According to some fuqaha, Ameen is silent. But all fuqaha are of the opinion that Ameen is masnoon, whether silent or whether audible. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when the Imam says Ameen, you say Ameen. Because the Malaika also says Ameen. Now, if you imagine this, when the Imam says Waladdallin, and when you imagine that the Malaika that are here in this masjid at the moment are all saying Ameen, and I also want to be part of that group. Say Ameen. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, because if your Ameen strikes the Ameen of the Malaika, when they are saying Ameen, you also say it at the same time, all your past sins will be forgiven. فَإِنَّ مَنْ وَافَقَ تَامِينُهُ تَامِينَ الْمَلَائِكَةَ غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ. And when will the Malaika say Ameen? Immediately after وَلَدْضَالِّينَ, they will say Ameen. So be very careful, be alert. And as soon as the Imam says Waladdallin, say Ameen. So that your Ameen goes with the Ameen of the Malaika and your past sins are forgiven. This is why ilm is very important. Because a person with ilm, his outlook of deen, his outlook of look of ibadat will be different from a non-alim. So let us make a firm resolution, inshallah, that we want to, heart and mind, khanqa, tazkiya, islah, sheikh, murid. What is all this for? This is all to connect the heart, disconnect the heart from dunya and connect it to Allah. Disconnect it from dunya and connect it to Allah. We remain in the dunya like the ship under. The dunya is under us, not inside us. Because if the water comes in the ship, it will sink. We are all sinking. The whole Muslim Ummah is sinking throughout the world. Why is it sinking? Because dunya is not under us, dunya has come into us. We need to remove that dunya from inside so that the ship can begin to sail again. A saint used to go into sajda and remain in sajda for 1 hour, 1.25 hour, 1.5 hour, and sometimes he used to fall asleep in his sajda. That is how long his sajda used to be. So somebody said to him, your sajda is very long, why? Your sajda is very long, why? So he says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said that a person acquires the most closeness to his creator when he is in sajda. When he is in sajda, أَقْرَبُ مَا يَكُونُ الْعَبْدُ وَهُوَ سَاجِدُ. So a person acquires the most closeness of Allah when he is in sajda. So he says that when I go to sajda, I know that I am very close to Allah. Very close to Allah. And then I glorify him by saying, سُبْحَانَ رَبِّيَ الْأَعْلَى. I glorify my Rabb who is very high. So he says that when I say Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la 3 times, and when the time comes to raise the head, the thought comes in my mind that it is possible that after raising your head, you may not be able to come into sajda again. Malakul Maut may come to you. And you may not be able to acquire this closeness and say Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. When this thought enters my mind, I say, let me say it once more. So I say it 4th time. When I want to raise my head again, the same thought comes. So I say it the 5th time. And I just continue for 1 hour, 1.5 hours. Because I do not want to let go of this closeness of Allah. All this will come as a result of tazkiyah. But first we need to acquire the concern for tazkiyah and the shock, the interest to come closer to Allah. We also can become like this. They were humans. We are also humans. They were also humans. And Allah has given us the same ability and the capability that Allah had given them. The only difference is our efforts is in another direction. Their effort was in another direction. If we if we exert our efforts in that same direction, the correct direction, we will also become like that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. Whilst here, don't think about home, don't think about wife, don't think about... Yes, think about them from this perspective. That Allah make me wali, make my wife wali, make my children wali. Oh Allah, keep vilayat in our household, in our family, until the day of Qiyamah. And then strive to become wali. Those of you who are already associated to Mashayikh, keep a close contact with your Mashayikh. Close contact with your Mashayikh. Follow the instructions. And whatever instructions they give you, it is remaining within the limits of the Sharia, alhamdulillah. Carry out the Mamulat. Stay away from sinful activities. If any sin is committed, repent immediately. If you feel that a particular sin is not leaving you, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, refer to your chef and follow his prescriptions and stay in good company. Abstain from sins. If sin is committed, repent. And if you feel that I cannot get hold of this, get over this sin, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, refer to your chef. And with this effort, carry out the mamulat, the prescribed zikr of your sheikh, and come in the company of your sheikh, sit in the company of your sheikh, and wherever you are, stay away from wrong company and stay in good company. And those of you who have yet to choose a sheikh, you should choose a sheikh. You are here in the month of Ramadan, say to Allah that, oh Allah, now we want your friendship, we want your wilayat, show us the path, show me that person who will show me your path. Show me that person who will guide me to you, who will guide me to your friendship. And once your heart is set, choose that person as your sheikh and follow his instruction. Same. Make this the goal of our lives. We need to make this the goal of our lives. Ek main hoon aur shugle yaade dost. It's me. It's me and my wife? No. Me and my son? No. Me and my friend? No. It's me and the remembrance of my friend. That means Allah. Ek main hoon aur shugle yaade dost. It's me and the occupation of the remembrance of my friend. Sare jhagdon hi se fursat ho gayi. I am relieved of all problems. I am relieved of all problems. All problems gone. Na duniya se, na daulat se, na ghar abad karne se, tasalli dil ko milti hai khuda ko yaad karne se. A person cannot acquire tasalli, sukoon, contentment of the heart through duniya, through wealth, through house and mansion. No, tasalli dil ko milti hai. The heart can only acquire sukoon and itminan through the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ala bi dhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub. Listen carefully, only through the remembrance of Allah. This is the translation. Only through the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do hearts find contentment. So we still have approximately 8 to 9 more days, and this is sufficient to become successful in our goal. Let us make a firm resolution. Make dua for yourselves, for your families. Make dua for me also. Make dua for the whole ummah. That may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant this realization to everybody. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi.